Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. Lord, we quieten our hearts and minds because we've got so many thoughts buzzing around them, Lord. We simply want to say, God, if there's anything you want to say to me today and say to us today, we say yes. Lord, would you speak clearly? Would we hear your voice? And we invite you by your Holy Spirit in that mysterious way to shed light on your word in such a way as that we are transformed. We don't need to be informed, Lord. We need to be transformed. And our world is longing for a church to rise up that is truly transformational. And so, Lord, that is what we ask for. And I pray, God, that as you see what's deep in our hearts today, that you would nurture what is good and that you'd help us filter out what is bad and that we'd leave this room changed. And, Lord, for those listening to the recording as well, I ask, Lord, that you would, wherever they are listening to this, because they can't be here in person, Lord, would you bless them and speak to them? In Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about my mum. There's a picture here of my mum, or three pictures, actually. She's amazing. She's over in Colorado Springs, where she lives with my dad. And you can see the stars and stripes there. She's a remarkable woman, and she loves to cook. And so with the apron on, that's one of the abiding images of my mum actually growing up. But I've been thinking on this Mother's Day about what it was like for my mum bringing me up. I've got an older brother, he's 2 years older than me. I've been wondering, and maybe I'll have a conversation with her. She'll listen to this recording, and then we'll start the conversation this way. So, Mum, I wonder what it was really like to have you carry me for those 9 months through the pain and through the hopes and longing and wishing that I would just come quickly and not be carried around for any longer. I wonder, well, I can't really imagine that, to be honest. I wonder what it was like for my mum when I came out with a deformed foot. And so very quickly after birth, I had to have my foot in a plaster cast. I used to hate having this cast on. So I'd bash it against doors and chairs and tables and the wheelchair I was in for a few, I don't know for how long, but I used to bash it to try and break off this cast. I wonder what it was like wondering if I'd ever be able to kind of properly walk or run or whatever the implications were of that. I wonder what it was like for my mum when, at a very early age, I was attracted to the swimming pool in Florida where we were at the time, and she ran down and found me jumping into this pool, unable to swim. I wonder what that moment was like of rushing down and seeing me in a swimming pool. I wonder what it was like as I was growing up and not really having a great group of friends that she could be proud of, my choice of friends. I wonder what it was like for her to have hopes for the kind of young man I'd become, and then at the age of 14 for me to be in trouble with the police. I wonder what it was like for my mum when there was a knock on the door and it was a policeman coming to speak to me about some vandalism that I was guilty of on a local farm near where we lived. I wonder what it was like for her wishing for a kind of son and then realising what she'd got. I wonder what that was really like for her, holding on to hope, actually, that I'd become somebody that would help some people rather than just be a hindrance. It's something I can't really fully recognize, even I'm a dad and I've got hope for our own kids. But it seems to me that there's something deep within the kind of mother's heart that is very profound. And it's a longing for something, longing for the next generation to make a difference and to live a better life than the one we've lived. I think that's the kind of desire, isn't it? Well, there's the next picture here is not an actual photograph, so you don't get confused. But I've been thinking about Mary. And in a moment, we're going to hear from Luke's gospel, from one chapter that summarizes 12 years of Jesus' life. And I want us to get kind of under the skin of Mary because there's some lessons for all of us, regardless of our gender or our kind of marital status or parental status. There's something really profound in this story. I'd like to think that if Mary had had the money or lived in a more modern era, she might have had a locket. And in this locket, some of the things that we're going to look at in a few minutes, that she would store them. And every now and then, you know, one of those hinged lockets, that she would take that locket out and just in her own private prayers, she would open this locket and rehearse the things that God had said or the dreams that she'd had. I don't know if you've got a locket, maybe some of you do. And every now and then you just have a sentimental moment and you open it and it reminds you of something. I think many of us, all of us, have something deep down within us, like a treasure trove where we store things. Mary certainly did. And Luke, as he came to write his account of the life of Jesus, he gives us the most of the detailed view of what that childhood was like. And we're going to hear from Luke chapter 2. And I've got a couple of willing volunteers who are going to come and help read this passage. So if you, Giselle and Jordan, do you want to grab that mic there? And we're going to hear from this. Now, just as they come up, let's remember what's happened. For 40 weeks, come just join me here. And for 40 weeks, Mary has carried the baby Jesus. She's given birth. Anyone who's had that experience knows that even if you are in a birthing center or there's comfort and it's a sanitary environment, it's still painful. Well, imagine giving birth in a barn. And where you don't know if there's anything emergent happens, then infant mortality was very normal in those days, 2,000 years ago, in a barn. So she's gone through all the vulnerability and also the joy and delight of giving birth to Jesus. And then we're going to hear from Luke chapter 2. So we'll read from verse 8. It will come up on the screen, but we'll also hear it.
That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased."
Great. Before we read any further, I don't know what you did to announce if you had a birth in your family. I saw even somebody had a fireworks set off to announce the gender of their child this week on Facebook. And, you know, I don't know what kind of announcement you've had, but I bet you cannot better this. We have got an angelic choir announcing the birth of this child. Angels from heaven pronouncing to everyday people, to people in the middle of their workday, announcing the birth of this child, Jesus. That is an incredible... We could only imagine what it sounded like. We can only imagine what it looked like to see that. Well, that's what the shepherds experienced.
When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child.
And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Amazing. So they were astonished. This was written originally in Greek, and the language describing the shepherd's response was astonishment. They began to think of things they'd not thought before. They were shocked. They were surprised. They were amazed. And because what they'd heard, what the angels had said, they'd actually seen within minutes, they saw with their own eyes the promises of God coming true right in front of it. And they are astonished and amazed. And they go back to their homes. You never guess what. You never guess what. There were angels. You never guess what. You never guess what I heard. You never guess what we heard. And then look what we saw. They were astonished and amazed. But interestingly, it says here in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Was she amazed? Yes, she probably was, but she was more than amazed. She'd had an encounter with an angel before, Angel Gabriel. She was kind of getting used to heaven breaking into earth in her life. And she wasn't just amazed for a moment. She treasured these things in her heart. She held on to them. And that's what I wanted to think about over the next few minutes. Imagine, as we see the rest of his childhood spoken of in the rest of chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, imagine what is going on as you hear these words in Mary's heart. But remember this, she thought about them often. She rehearsed what was actually happening in front of her eyes. This is from verse 21.
8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was the time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons.
Okay, so this is dedication day. I don't know if anyone brought any pigeons for Matthias or Emily. No pigeons, sorry. Cupcakes. but this is a dedication. It's an ancient thing to say thank you for a life. And then just as we had earlier, the opportunity for prayers to be said for that child, prophetic prayers. Let's hear about those prayers.
At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others will rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.
Wonderful. So on this dedication day, an incredible series of prophetic words. Initially, incredibly amazing. Initially, about salvation for Israel, about glory, about light and glory. And it says that Mary and Joseph were amazed. The same word as we heard earlier, about amazed. They were impressed. Wow. And then into that, on an even deeper level than what had already been said, we heard Simeon say, and he looks at Mary, says, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your soul, because actually your son is going to actually be one that people struggle to figure out. I'll paraphrase, will actually cause division and people won't know what to make of him. He's going to end up in trouble and a sword will pierce your soul. What an amazing mix of prophetic encouragement, but also a challenge from the heart of God. Then let's continue.
Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him.
Wow, that's an amazing dedication day. as we've heard, Anna overhears, and something in her spirit, something she's been storing up, something she's been waiting for years, finally, something, the light turns on. It's him, the Savior of Israel. It's him. I've seen him. She went around saying and praising the Lord. It's him. Salvation is here. The Rescuer is here. I've seen him. I've seen the Messiah here in the temple. And she's telling everyone that hope is here. If you like, the hopes that had been locked up in her heart were unleashed that day, were uncapped that day. I've now seen the fulfillment of the hopes of Israel. Now the Messiah is here. What an amazing occasion that was. Mary, imagine what's going on in her heart. If she finds someone who comes alongside her and agrees with what is in her heart. Yes, yes, this son that was promised by Gabriel. Yes, hope is here. And so she holds on to that hope. Then a number of years later, in fact, 12 years later, we're going to hear of a famous story about what Jesus was up to in the year of his bar mitzvah as he was preparing to come into adulthood. So this is from verse 41.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?"
But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people.
Amen. Thank you for reading so well. Really appreciate that. Thanks, both of you. It's an amazing story. I wanted to keep verse 51 up there because it's the essence of what I sense God wants to communicate to us in this room today. They returned to Nazareth and Jesus was obedient to his parents after this incident in the temple. It says this, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Now, the way Luke writes his gospel is he uses these summaries. And I reckon that Luke is saying that all the stuff that we've just read in chapter 2, Mary stored it all up in her heart. The things that Simeon had said, the praise of Anna, and also all the things that Jesus said in the temple when he was explaining that it was his father's house. She stored it all up in her heart. If you like, she stored it all in her locket and she rehearsed it and prayed over it and believed it. Now think about this, that actually nothing changed after that. As in, he just went about a normal Jewish boy's life, reading his Torah, reading the Bible of the day, and going to the synagogue, going back and forth. When he was 13, nothing had changed. When he was 14, nothing had changed. 15, 16, he just grew up. He learned his father's trade. Age 70, we don't know at what point, but later on, by the time he's 30, Jesus is only referred to as the son of Mary. So at some point, Joseph, his father, died. And so at some point during that period, he becomes the head of the household. But there's no sense of the fulfillment of all the promises. He's 16, he's 17, he's 18, nothing changes. He's just going out every day, going to the building site as a carpenter, as a builder, and building homes and fixing things and making things. He's 19, he's 20, he's 21. Still no light from heaven, still no miracles. Still no hope for Israel, just an ordinary guy going about his everyday. everyday work. He's 22, he's 23, he's 24 still. He's getting to the age where he has chosen not to be married by this time. That's, all of that is perplexing, and that's another day. But he carries on. He doesn't meet everyone's expectations of what a good Jewish man is. He just keeps building and carpentering or whatever that was in that, like in those days. And then he goes in, he's 23 and he's 24, 25, he's 28, 29. And still, Mary, I believe, is storing in her heart all these things. She still has deep within her heart, she is holding on to the hope of Israel through her son's life. The title of my talk today is Hold On to Hope. I believe there are some of us here today listening to this, and the Lord wants to whisper to you and to say, there are things you've been holding on to for years. Hold on. Don't let go. See, Mary stored all these things. Where? In her heart. The amazement had gone. The excitement had gone. That she just had left the promises of God in her heart. And she rehearsed them and she prayed over them. Then Jesus turns 30, begins his earthly ministry. He's baptized. He's tempted in the desert. You may have heard of the when he changed water into wine at his mother's request. She's like, is it time? Is it time? He goes, no, it's not my time to do all that stuff yet. But he did it anyway, like a good son would. He changed water into wine at a wedding, a famous story. But see, it was just coming into the time where he would begin to bring light to the world. And of course he was. But it wasn't like even Mary expected. The Messiah was meant to be like a military king. That was what everyone was expecting. I think Mary knew something different, but maybe she was surprised by the way that Jesus went to the poor and to the broken, and the way he went from place to place and did miracles and raised the dead. That's amazing. And yet every time he talked about his destiny, it included suffering. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten up. I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. All the time, he's moving closer and closer to Jerusalem. I wonder what's going on in Mary's heart over those 3 years. And yet I believe she's storing up in her heart the hope and the promises of God. If you're here today and you feel like you're hanging on to a thread of hope, you're in good company with Mary. Because I reckon on the day when his friends had abandoned him and even pretended they'd, even his closest friend, Peter, wouldn't even admit that he was a friend of Jesus. Jesus is abandoned and he's beaten up within inches of his life, and he's dragged and he's spat at by the authorities. Those from Israel who should recognize their Messiah, they reject him. In fact, they hand him over to be crucified. There is Mary still holding on to hope. Then on the cross, she sees her son. This precious son, the light of the world that Simeon had prophesied about, the one that had caused Anna to dance in the temple, hanging on a cross, cursed by all the sin and the shame of the world. She sees them pierce his side and blood and water flow as proof of his death. What's going on in Mary's heart? I really believe she's still there holding on to hope. Even when others have long given up, she's holding on. And then, after 3 days, you know the story. After 3 days, the grave breaks open. There's a great earthquake. Again, angels. And Jesus walks out of the tomb with the scars of his death on his hand, but with resurrection life coursing through his veins. And I believe Jesus I believe Mary, his mother, was kind of amazed. But I also believe on that day she was kind of relieved. As she saw her resurrected son, truly the light of the world, how what she'd held on to became a reality. Jesus, the risen Messiah, the one that Israel could really put hope in because he'd defeated death. Hallelujah. Mary stored up these things in her heart. and hear the resurrected Jesus then ascends into heaven and sends the Holy Spirit. And I reckon on that day when the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost on everyday ordinary people, she would be saying, do you know, I can just sense something has truly happened here, that all those hopes have not been dashed, but they've actually been fulfilled. Where am I going with this? What are my thoughts? My thoughts are this. It is that God's desire is to place in the human heart promises and dreams and hopes that are truly from him that we should not let go of. And as I was praying about you, as I was praying about this time together, I knew that at least one person here, you are at the brink of giving up on the promises of God. And I want to say to you today, I want to breathe some life back onto that flame. I want to breathe that back into flame. The embers of your faith are nearly dying out. I want to say, hold on to hope. Do not give up. God will do what he said he will do. The promises he said he will, he's good with the promise. In fact, the first point is this: Jesus is still in the process. God is still in the process of making promises. He's a promise-making God. And if you're here today and you've got longings in your heart, you know God has placed there, please, my friend, my sister, my brother, do not let go. Don't do it. Don't let anyone steal away from your heart what God has placed there. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The second point is just an observation, is that some people are amazed for a moment, but there are others who hold on. You see, this has been my experience. Some people get amazed. Wow, the resurrection story. It might be, oh, Easter, how exciting. Wow, he's risen again. Or even, wow, Jesus did miracles. Or maybe you've even seen miracles with your own eyes. I know some people, I remember seeing a boy's leg in the church that I grew up in. It kind of grew out by 2 inches in front of my eyes. They prayed for him. He had issues with his hips. They're out of alignment. Somebody came and they said, in the name of Jesus, grow this boy's leg. And literally in front of my eyes, wow, I was amazed. I went to school that week and I was like, you never guess what I saw yesterday at church. And they're like, what? And I said, you never guess what? I saw a boy's leg grow in front of my eyes. No way. I just saw it with my own eyes. I was amazed. They didn't believe it. Oh, you'd have to see it for yourself, would you? Oh, great. You see, amazement lasts for a moment. Even the shepherds were amazed. They told everyone for a while, but then it became a story from yesteryear. Maybe even Anna's amazement died out, but Mary held on. Amazement lasts for a moment, but hope is to hold on forever and to not let go. And the third observation is this: Jesus exceeded Mary's hopes, and he'll exceed yours as well. Even with what God had revealed to Mary, it was only a sketch of something that was going to happen in 4K. It was just a sketch of what actually is the fruit of Jesus' life. Look what happened. Literally billions of people over the generations following him. People of every tribe around the world calling on the name of her son and receiving salvation. Truly is the light, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people. Her son. Jesus exceeded her expectations. And my encouragement to you, because it's been my experience as well, Jesus will exceed all of your expectations as well. You cannot out-expect him. He can do more than you could even ask him or imagine, infinitely more than you could even dream of. If it's his intention to do something in your life spectacular, he'll do that more than you could ever imagine. And you will look back in your life and say, wow, I would never have guessed that was possible. That's my life story. And so I'd encourage you today, hold on to hope and let Jesus exceed your expectations. And if you're here today and you think, well, I don't really accept this whole Jesus thing, can I just give you an encouragement? Either today, or if you need a bit of time to work it through, please do this. Please investigate the story of the resurrection of Christ. please investigate what people said about Jesus. Forget the church, just Jesus. Investigate Jesus. Maybe over this coming Easter period, get into the story and ask yourself a question. What would happen if I took a risk and trusted my life into the hands of this Jesus of Nazareth? Because many of us are here because we've done exactly that. And I can tell you, because of the power of his resurrection, we've never regretted it. It's not been easy. It's tough. But Jesus has never failed to meet my expectations, way go beyond them. And yeah, we get disappointed by life. And yeah, the answer to every prayer isn't always yes, whatever you want, Tim. Usually it's, well, let's talk about that. But Lord, I want this and that. Usually it's like, let's talk about that. And as we come into alignment with his plan and purposes, he'll go way beyond our expectations. And as we come to sing together, there's so much more I'd love to say, but the time is gone. God has a desire to use and bless us, and he's still in the process of giving us desires and hopes. Don't let your treasure die. Don't let the hopes die. And can I just say this as we come to pray? And I believe this is specifically for at least one mother here. There are some things that only God can know. There are some hopes and longings in your heart that only God can know because he placed them there, that are almost so big and so deep that you've not really been able to vocalize them, but they're there. They're like the treasure in your locket. Can I encourage you, if God has placed dreams in your heart, if you know they're from him, however crazy they seem, hold on to those dreams. And for some here, actually, the desire is to become a mother because you've not had that yet, to become, have your own children or to have your own kind of family. And there's a longing there that seems to be taking forever to be fulfilled. Can I just encourage you? God loves you and he will meet you in the place of holding on to that hope. He loves you. He's not playing games with your life. I'd encourage you to trust him. And when you trust your life to him, you will not be ashamed and put to shame. He's a good God. So friends, hold on to hope. Don't let go. I know the feelings go up and down, but hold on to the hope of God within you. We're going to pray now. We're going to sing a song together which will help us. And as we do this, I just think we should pause just for a moment, not worry about the time, and just pause for a moment. And this doesn't just apply to the ladies here. Actually, there are some guys here who actually you've got a desire for the next generation, a longing for your kids, a longing for your nieces and nephews or grandchildren, whatever it is. You've got a longing for people in your family, and it seems to be going the opposite direction to what you're dreaming of. Guys, I want to encourage you, be strong in faith. Be strong in hope. Don't let go. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of the resurrection. We say, Lord, would you bring into new life and bring into fresh experience the hope you've given us in Christ. Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.